What's going on, everybody? NHL Action Network Collab. We're catching up here with Michael Leboff from the Action Network. This is Pete Jensen, excited to break down all the recent trades and especially the Timo Meier move over the weekend. Mike, I mean, this is serious Stanley Cup futures appeal for New Jersey, a team that back in the preseason, nobody even had making the playoffs. It's unreal.
Yeah, they definitely jumped. But it's funny that the market never really budged. We all kind of knew this was happening for a while, or they were at least the front runner for Meier, and the market never really truly reacted. We saw some places, shortened them to like 11-1, but sportsbooks, people who run sportsbooks are smart. They knew this was coming. If we knew it was coming, they knew it was coming, and there was never really a huge kind of jump in the odds. And I think that's just kind of comment towards the Eastern Conference in general. If you look at the board, Boston is still the favorite, obviously. Then it's Colorado. Then it's Carolina, New York, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and then Jersey. Basically every sports book out there. So you're looking at what, 6 out of the top 7 favorites are coming from the same conference. That's absurd. That means, it also means that for Jersey to win, they'll have to go through a path that will be the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and then the Bruins, most likely, which leads me to believe I don't think this number is going anywhere. Like, unless the Devils make a significant jump, maybe they really rip off a stretch going into the playoffs, I think they're still going to be able to get they're going to stay in this range. Like, they'll be in this teens range. So I don't know if there's a rush. I wouldn't. If you're a Devils fan and you want some skin in the game, you don't have it yet, go right ahead. I'm not going to judge anyone for that. But I just don't think if you're someone who's interested in Jersey, you need to like rush to the window to bet them now because it hasn't happened yet.
I think one angle you could play that's pretty realistic, there are a couple points behind, but for Jersey to catch Carolina to win the Metropolitan Division, maybe you could get something decent on that right now. It's clearly feasible. And if the Meier trade goes well, whether he's with Heischer or he's with Hughes or he's both on the first power play, that's probably likely with Hamilton. I mean, they have the firepower. They have the puck possession style, I think, to make that happen. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm sure you would agree with me. One or two series victories would be tremendous for this team that has an amazing future down the road. I mean, who's got a better outlook than the New Jersey Devils after adding Timo Meier at 26 years old, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably the right way to look at it is if you are going to bet the Devils right now, the one number that could definitely go away is like that plus 260 that they're hanging out there at to win the Metro. Nice. Still think Carolina is deserving to be a favorite, but no way I'm betting them at minus 400 to win the Metro now that they have, some serious company at the top. And it doesn't look so. Carolina is interesting to me. Like, I could see their odds actually getting longer because it doesn't seem like they're in a rush here at the trade deadline. I think that everyone expects them to make a move because everybody around them did. It seems like every big trade has happened in the East and a bunch in the Metro. But Carolina doesn't really kind of, I guess we wouldn't call them a reactionary team. They are pretty, they kind of stand on their own with the way they think and run their roster. So let's say Carolina doesn't do anything at the deadline. I could actually see them kind of drifting a little bit, their price drifting. So if you are someone who's looking to get in on the Hurricanes on a Stanley Cup future, I would wait until after the deadline, because if they don't do something, then you can start to see some movement as they drift from maybe like, plus 650 to 8-1 or maybe even a little longer if Jersey does catch them.
So as of record time, the Patrick Kane to the Rangers trade hasn't happened yet, but I think a lot of us in the hockey world assume that it probably will happen. Sounds like it's the only team he wants to go to. Is there any angle to target the Rangers before that trade? Are they going to become wildly overrated in the betting market once it happens? How do you see this shaking out, and how would you handicap their chances of actually hoisting the trophy, which they haven't, of course, since 1994?
It's an interesting dilemma because it makes the Rangers are already really good. And they're already really good at the stuff that Patrick Kane does. So it doesn't make them better as a team. I don't know. Like it makes them more exciting and everyone will love it. It's going to get a lot of media fanfare. He's, perfect fit for the market, this big star coming over. But I mean, even just look at what's going on with Tarasenko. He hasn't really found his niche. I know he got off to a hot start when he joined the Rangers, but other than those first couple of games, he hasn't looked like the perfect fit. And I think it's because the Rangers keep adding to the parts of their game that are they're already good at. Right? Like we know that they could score. They should be better on the power play than they are. And maybe Kane and Tarasenko, as they really get settled, improve it. But they're already, you know, top third power play team in the league. So this doesn't, it doesn't make them more of an appealing bet. And I would be shocked if the number jumps because Kane, when the deal becomes official, because we've known about it for, once again, this is another trade that we've kind of known is going to happen for a while. So they actually become more of like a team that I'd be looking to go against the Rangers, because you'd expect the media hype always seeps into the market. And those first couple games, we could see some pretty crazy numbers on the Rangers when Kane plays. And I would look probably to go against them because you're going to get a good price as people rush to the window to back this guy in his Broadway debut.
Just for fun, I was poking around FanDuel Sportsbook and looking at a couple of the Stanley Cup final matchup betting landscape, the different options you could pick and stuff like that. Like you could get Rangers versus Dallas plus 4,700 as of this morning, which is, I think, something that could potentially happen. My preseason cup pick was Carolina over Colorado. That's plus 1,900. If you want to get involved with the Devils, you could, I'm sure, get some crazy value on stuff like that. Where do you stand prior to the trade deadline? I know some things are going to change, but like your cup final pick type of thing, do you have any leaning in that type of a market? Because that's something that I've, in my staff picks for NHL.com in the past, I think I've hit it like four times or something. Like it's possible to hit that, even though it seems daunting, I think, at the surface.
Yeah, I think if you're looking, let's say you're a Bruins fan and you didn't bet them in the beginning of the season, and you want to have some sort of play on them, those kind of exactas, those championship exactas are a decent way to do it. But you're going to want, like, you're not going to probably find any value on Boston versus a team like Colorado. But let's say you think that like a team like Los Angeles is going to make an upgrade in goal. Boston versus LA is 50-1. And is it likely? No. But the Kings, when you think about the Western Conference, like it's so wide open. Nobody's really got better at the deadline yet. The ceiling for a team like Los Angeles, if they get some stability in goal, and I know Phoenix Copley has been admirable, but his numbers aren't great, even though he's winning them games. Jonathan Quick struggled. If the Kings are able to find a goaltender, whether it's, you know, Jonas Korpisalo or a long shot would be Varlamov, they become pretty attractive. And I wouldn't hate pairing them with a team like the Bruins, right? Because expecting the Bruins to get out, or if you expect Carolina to get out, go right ahead. That's how I would play those, is try to find a price team in the West to pair with one of the favorites in the East.
Right. Maybe a safe team in either Boston or Colorado or Carolina, and then get a little more creative, you know, on the other side of the coin. Could be a cool angle there.
Yeah, precisely. That's probably like it's the same thing with like horse racing. How many kind of things always come back to horse racing in sports betting? It's like when you're building an exacta and you're betting the favorite, you're not going to just bet the first two favorites, right? Because what are you getting, right? You're going to get nothing out of that. So you can absolutely build around the favorite, but you're going to want to put a price team in there. And Los Angeles to me is quite interesting in the futures market. And it's more about the path than the team itself. Cause the West to me, like I know Colorado is absolutely charging right now, but if you get a team out of the Pacific, most likely they're not going to face Colorado until the conference finalists, you know, the Avalanche fall apart and end up in a wild card spot. So that Pacific division, man, pick a team and you could probably ride them with a bet like that.
Yeah, with LA, I feel like if they add either Chychrun or Demko or something to help the back end, or, you know, some of the guys you were talking about, you could look at them completely differently. And maybe as the favorite in the Pacific Division in terms of going the deepest or winning the division 1 week from now. So we'll prognosticate on that. I did want to touch on the other side of the Meyer deal just for a second, because there are a couple of avenues betting wise that are live right now. Clearly, Erik Karlsson's the Norris Trophy favorite. I was curious if you're worried at all at him now that San Jose lost Timo Meier. I know there are a couple of injuries to guys like Rasmus Dahlin and Cale Makar right now, so he's got some cushion. But first off, Erik Karlsson, you think that he's going to run away with this thing, or is there going to be some regression?
I mean, I don't think that there's much to worry about outside of an injury, because it's the story, right? We always talk about that in our season previews, that human beings end up voting on this, and human beings whose profession is writing and coming up with narratives are the ones who vote on it. So the whole story of Karlsson's resurgence, I think, is going to be too much for them to give up and vote for someone like Makar again. Or, you know, Adam Fox is like the only interesting one, I think, that could maybe nip it. He's still healthy, and he's been really good for the Rangers, and has kind of, he's not getting the attention that the other guys are getting, but if there is someone who kind of storms late and steals it from Karlsson, I would say Karlsson. Fox is probably the only other price I would consider. So but yeah, it's Karlsson's to lose, it seems, right now. It seems like everyone made up their mind weeks ago that they were going to vote for this guy.
That would be a crazy American-born power play duo, Patrick Kane and Adam Fox, if the trade happens. But when you look at San Jose, I think the thing that people could gravitate more towards in terms of something changing as a result of this Meier deal is the fact that they're only 4 points ahead of the lowest point total in the NHL as of the time of the trade. So, I mean, if they regress at all, even a little bit compared to what they did, overachieving a little bit offensively to this point in the season, I mean, they could finish at the bottom. They could be in it to win it for Connor Bedard. And even if they're trying hard down the stretch, I mean, that's pretty feasible in my opinion.
Yeah, these sports books, they're clever. They've taken down that market while the trade deadline gets sussed out, it seems. So it's hard to find a price right now. But when they post it, if you can get a decent number on the Sharks, that's definitely worth it. I still think that, you know, if you're getting triple digits on a team like Vancouver, they're interesting as well with the way Columbus, we'll talk about Columbus in a little bit. Some of these teams are playing. If Vancouver's only 7 points ahead of Columbus in that, and there's some teams in between, but including San Jose. But I think San Jose, Vancouver, you could even make the case for Arizona if they trade, you know, Schmaltz and Vemelka, they become more interesting. But their price has always been really short in this market because everyone hasn't kind of adjusted to the fact that they've been better than expected. But yeah, San Jose and Vancouver are definitely two good shouts once again in the wooden spoon market.
Looking ahead to the upcoming week, I'm sure you got a bunch of great plays. Let's start with Buffalo. They got a potential trap game at home against the Blue Jackets on Tuesday. Then they play the juggernaut of the NHL, Boston, on the road. The problem with Buffalo, as well as they've been playing and getting themselves into playoff position, is Alex Tuch is out week to week. So that changes the landscape a little bit, fantasy-wise, and especially in the betting market. Do you look at Buffalo differently? Are you fading them against the Jackets and the Bruins?
So I actually think the Jackets are a team that I wasn't expecting to keep betting this late in the season, but they're 4-2-2 in their last 8 games. They haven't lost by more than 2 goals since losing 3-0 to the Maple Leafs on February 10th. They're playing hard. Things do change if they trade Korpisalo, but he's been lights out for them of late. I mean, he's given up goals, but when you look at like the quality of scoring chances against and the saves he's making, it's really impressive. And Buffalo, as well as they punch up as an underdog because of their offense, they are, you know, one of the highest scoring teams in the league. They struggle to keep the puck out of their own net. I think they're 23rd in goals against average this season. And that makes them a vulnerable favorite, because if they run into a hot goalie, or they don't get, they don't have their shooting boots on or something like that, this team doesn't have the defensive wherewithal and the goaltending to play in games where the margin for error is really thin. They're only 4-4 this season when they're -180 or higher. So that tells you right away, like, this is not a team you want to trust at a big number. They're obviously going to be a pretty big number against the Blue Jackets. But then you flip that, right? So I would be saying, I'm going against Buffalo Tuesday night. Thursday night, they'll be catching the Bruins coming back from the West Coast for that first game at home, which is always a really tough spot for teams, especially a team like Boston, who, by the way, could go over their over season long total, 96.5 points with a win against Edmonton on Monday night. Then they play Calgary on Tuesday night. So they're playing 3-4 coming home. after two games in Alberta, hosting a team that will be up for it. That's a dangerous spot for the Bruins, I would say. So it's going to be one of those tricky situations for me where I'll probably be going against Buffalo with the Jackets at a big number. And then I'll be right back on the Sabres at a big number against the Bruins. But generally, like, I think the Sabres will, when they're not playing teams like, you know, Boston or Tampa or Toronto, I think that they'll be overrated. And this is something you'll see kind of down the stretch here. Teams like Buffalo or Detroit or out west with Calgary, teams that are fighting for everything. And when they're going against teams that are out of it, that must win narrative always finds its way into the betting market, almost always. And it, an effort does matter in hockey, and stake, like when the stakes are higher, it's easier to get up for a game. Sure, that does play a role, but you don't want to just blindly bet a team because they have something to play for and their opponent is out of it. So there's some spots like that this week. The Predators are in a couple. They play Florida. I believe they also play Pittsburgh. Then you have, like I said, the Columbus spot, and a couple of other interesting ones. We could see it with later in the week too, with Columbus. If Ottawa gets out of this Detroit two-step with some points, they stay in the mix. Like, they play Columbus later in the week. So the Jackets have a chance to play spoiler, you know, as leading into the deadline and the day after, and they could be, you know, my team of the week here.
So I was looking at make miss the playoff numbers. Buffalo's number has gotten a lot shorter, plus 166. A couple weeks ago, it was like plus 300, right? So the Sabres, you know, a lot of people are on the bandwagon. Nobody has a bandwagon like the Buffalo Sabres. A lot of people are rooting for them to make the playoffs. I did see Detroit to make the playoffs, FanDuel Sportsbook plus 350. Detroit is in the thick of the mix right now. Maybe getting Lucas Raymond back soon. Husso is playing out of his mind despite not a lot of help on the defensive end. Are you categorizing the Red Wings as contenders, pretenders? Are you buying on some number like that?
That market's crazy, man. We spoke right after that Bo Horvat trade. The Islanders were 3-1 and it's come crashing down. You could see with the way that they played why it has. And now with the Red Wings, it's, You're buying high, right? Like, because a couple of weeks ago, you're looking at like a double digit number on Detroit. So even though it's a decent number, it's still, you know, you're getting in perhaps the high part of the market. I wouldn't hate going back to them if they actually drop these two to Ottawa, because they have games in hand, and this has been a team of, you know, there's so many streaky teams in the NHL. The Red Wings have been one as well, and like, you could see if they struggle against Ottawa, that number drifts again, and then you could say like those two games. Sure, they mattered, but they didn't give points to a team they're chasing, like Florida or Pittsburgh or the Islanders. They just gave them to Ottawa. So I would sit back and wait. I think the Red Wings and the Sabres are going to start taking too much money just generally in those kind of markets, because the hype machine is back in full force with them. And in that market, just generally, like I've been saying, I think the way to play it is to go with the miss on Pittsburgh. Rather than a make on from the other teams, because if Detroit gets in and it looks likely right now, it could come at the expense of the Penguins, right? Like they've won a couple. It looks like they're stabilizing, but I think we can have an honest conversation here that say that they still have some serious holes.
With Pittsburgh and Washington in the betting market, especially as they get back fully healthy and have their lineups intact with Ovechkin and Jari, et cetera, like you have opportunities for them to overcome low expectations because people are down on them, right? Pittsburgh had a huge win yesterday, scoring a ton of goals, and Washington beat the Rangers in a back and forth type game where you could have gotten, you know, different teams on the live line and stuff like that. Like, it's important, even if you're expecting those teams to miss ultimately, that they're not going to go down without a fight, especially if their big dogs are going to be on the ice for them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the Penguins have a funny schedule this week. Like, they play a Nashville team that is selling. They just traded Tanner Jeannot and they traded Nino Niederreiter. But the Penguins are flawed enough that they can lose those kind of games. And then they play, they do the Florida little two-step against Tampa and the Panthers, who are, you know, the Lightning just got trounced by the Penguins. So you'll know they'll be up for that one. And then that Panthers game could be like almost an eliminator for the Cats. So a really weird schedule for the Penguins, and I just don't trust them at all right now. Not with the way they're defending. Like this team that had the reputation because of Crosby, Malkin, et cetera, as a really strong offensive team, and they were, but it was that defense that was keeping them competitive for the past five or six seasons, and those numbers are gone.
Times are changing in the Metropolitan Division for sure, as we're looking at the Devils as a much more favorable cup contender than teams like Washington and Pittsburgh. Pretty unreal. In the props market, there's a lot to hit on this week. There are more trades to come. I always love the angle. I loved it with Tarasenko for his first game. You could have gotten plus 220 a couple of weeks back for him to score a goal in his Ranger debut. Of course, keep an eye on who's in the lineup, who's out for trade-related reasons, when are guys making their debuts and stuff like that. But wanted to ask you about guys like Timo Meier. If he debuts for the Devils on Wednesday in Colorado, there's Ivan Barbashev in his Vegas debut coming up, Tanner Janot, Niederreiter, even maybe Fabian Zetterlund. You could get some good numbers on him in his Sharks debut, whenever it is. Is there any angle you're looking at in the props market with these guys making their debuts with their new teams?
I think Meier is going to be one just because of who the environment he's going to play in. Like, he's going to play in that top six, and there are going to be a lot of shots to be had. So of that bunch, he'd be the one, but the prices will probably be a little expensive on there. I think, like, as we get later in the week, guys who have been rumored to be traded, could be interesting. I think we saw that with Patrick Kane, right? Like, all of a sudden he was just scoring goals because he was trying to prove that he was still healthy, and he was still hanging around 3-1 as like an anytime goal scorer. So guys like that have been in the rumor mill for a while, that are trying to play themselves onto a team's radar to maybe get themselves into a playoff contending team, would be interesting. But like you said, like, so many of them have been sitting out with these trade related reasons that, you might not even get the chance to bet on them, but those would be the guys I'd be targeting, as we get closer to Friday at 3 o'clock PM, right?
Yeah, definitely. We're all counting the days for that to happen, no doubt. And then in terms of the plays this upcoming week, anything jump out to you? I know there's a big offense versus defense special teams game on Monday between the Bruins and the Oilers. Bruins got the best penalty kill percentage in the league. Edmonton's got the best power play. Interesting angles there. And then Boston also plays the Rangers on Saturday after playing the Sabres on Thursday. That Saturday game could very well be, you know, the debut of Patrick Kane if it ends up happening. That's a 1 p.m. game on ABC, Rangers at Boston.
I like the Bruins on Monday against the Oilers. With the way the Oilers' defense has been trending and the goaltending, you can't give Boston cheap goals because they'll make them stand up with the way that they defend. So I'm still high on the Bruins on Monday night, even as a road favorite. The Oilers are a team that I thought was turning a corner, and then they turned right back around. So that's one that I'll kind of stand up for. I was wrong with the Oilers a couple weeks ago. I'm gonna probably be betting the Predators when they play the Penguins on Tuesday night. I think that Nashville, I know that they're selling off pieces, but there's a lot to play for here. There's a new GM coming to town. There's gonna be a lot of guys playing for jobs, and it's going to be a pretty big price, even at home against a flawed team that's coming off a really impressive victory, that's going to have the must-win kind of hype machine behind it. So I'm definitely going to be interested in to see where Nashville ends up. And man, that this kind of is the worst possible time for the Washington Capitals to go on a West Coast little swing here, because you're playing teams like Anaheim and San Jose. You have to win, but Washington's waved a white flag. It's now they're flying across the country, and they got to get motivated for these games. It's a little tough. San Jose, they'll have some new blood in the lineup for that game on Saturday. So I'll be looking to go against Washington. Maybe they'll lose for the second time in a week to the Ducks. But those are the teams that I kind of circled: Washington and Pittsburgh, then Columbus. And on the other end, as a team, I'm going to be looking to bet when they take on the Sabres and this teams like the Senators.
And there are a couple of massive matchups this week. I mean, get your popcorn ready for games like Tampa Bay at Carolina on Sunday on TNT. After the Ranger-Boston game, there's Colorado at Dallas. Those teams could very well meet up in like the second round of the playoffs. You have Carolina at Vegas, Toronto at Edmonton, Florida at Tampa on Tuesday, after Florida destroyed them a couple of weeks ago, 7-1. You would expect a response from Tampa Bay, especially if Tanner Janot is in the lineup on Tuesday. So anyone, are you gravitating more towards like those big matchups between two elite teams, or do you look at the more lopsided ones and try to target those underdogs, like you said, with Columbus earlier in the week and Buffalo on Thursday against the Bruins?
Yeah, for better or worse, mostly worse, I intend to go dumpster diving a little bit and end up watching, you know, teams like Columbus more than like Bruins versus Rangers on national TV on a Saturday afternoon. So I'll be watching those, and I think that's just generally where you'll find the most value. Those games are pretty softly bet compared to a Bruins Rangers game on a Saturday when there's no college football or NFL to go up against.
So you're saying you've been enjoying some of these 50 save games by John Gibson and Craig Anderson and guys like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus.
Well, great to catch up with you, Mike. Really good info. Follow Mike at the Action Network and Line Change Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. Always a good listen to complement NHL Fantasy on Ice. So Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the NHL Action Network Collab.